This Journey to a Dream podcast is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. Hi, I'm Beth, and welcome to the Journey to a Dream podcast, which aims to give us a glimpse into the life of a racer who's preparing to come over to the Isle of Man. Today, we meet Andrew Jones.
I'm Andrew Jones from Swansea in South Wales, and that's it, really. I'm going to be doing the Manx in August, can't wait. I actually started on bikes back when I was around 12, racing motocross, started off-road. And I did that to start with, and then I got my license in 2016 on the tarmac, which was a bit of a natural progression, and went from there. Really, my dad raced back in the 80s, and basically had a group of mates, him and his best mate Paul, who has raced the TT and Manx about 6 or 7 times back in the 80s. They used to travel over to the Isle of Man. Just a group of them used to support Dibs, and his nickname's Dibs. He used to support him and be in the pit crew. So it's basically from my dad. He's always had road bikes, like literally as long as I can remember, since I was, early 3 years old. I remember just sitting on his bikes it was just in my blood, basically.
It's hard, I think, for people who aren't involved in the sort of the motorcycle world to really understand why people are so committed to it when, let's be honest, we know it's dangerous and it costs a hell of a lot of money, doesn't it, to put yourself through this. And I don't know whether you'd be able to describe to us, for you, what it is about this that makes it such a fundamental part of your life.
I think it's just because I've grown up with it. I just think it's all I've ever known, really. And I've always loved the Isle of Man, like, since hearing all the stories from when my dad was coming over. It was always the aim. When I started racing, I just wanted to race at the Isle of Man. The first time I actually came over the Isle of Man was in 2015 to the Manx to watch, because my dad was parading. And just like being there, like everyone says, the first time a bike comes past you, and I think it was St. Ninian's Cross, I was by the school there. And I was just like, it's the same as everyone, really. I had to get out there. I think there's other two types of people, really, people who want to do it and people who don't. You really got to want to do it. It was basically from there, never looked back, and started the long process that it takes to get out there. And I can't quite believe I'm actually going to be doing it, to be honest. Still pinching myself every day.
And you say it's a long process. Can you kind of talk us through what that process has been like for you?
Well, it was obviously to go through the actual stages of your license. So basically doing your ACU, get your novice license, then going up to your clubman, then your national. So you've got to get signatures. Obviously, for the clubman, it's just 10 finishes. But then to get your national, you've got to do 10 finishes. But they've got to be in a certain percentage of the leader's time. So, you can't be hanging around. You can't just ride around. So, everything's got to go right for you. Some meetings, you crash, or the bike blows up, or, you have a mechanical. So it's quite a lot of pressure, a lot of money involved. Basically just get the national license. And then once I got the national, I was able to enter some road races. So racing Aberdare Park, which is relatively local for me. It's only about 30 minutes up the road. I've been watching there since I was a kid, and always loved to race there. And so went there, and then Scarborough I've been to, and got the national and got all the ticks for the mountain course license, and then applied. And I was on the newcomers weekend, and that was a hell of an experience. And then, got the acceptance in April. Couldn't believe it.
And can you remember what that moment was like? Did you get it? Was it a phone call? Is it a letter? How did they tell you?
It was actually, I ran the London Marathon in April. I was actually there. It was the day before the marathon. I had an email. I was on pins for about 2 months before, waiting to hear. But so obviously I was sort of geared up for the marathon, and then we were just I think I can't remember what I was doing the day before, but I remember having the email through, and then it just said you sort of click on the link and it tells you accepted. And I got into the junior class and also the ultra lightweight, so I couldn't, one class would have been amazing, but getting two on the two different bikes is it's a dream come true, really. I love my running. I got into it during the lockdown a couple of years ago, and it sort of basically helps my fitness for racing, like gets your weight off. I've always wanted to do the London Marathon. I always said I'd do it before I was 30, never happened. So yeah, once I got to a charity place for Mind last year, raised a lot of money for Mind, and I ran it in April, and I love the running because it keeps my fitness in check, and like I said, it keeps the weight off. So I mean, the lighter you're on the bike, the better. So it's amazing.
And you say you ran it for Mind. How much money did you raise for them?
It was just under 2,500. I mean, it was quite stressful raising the money. I think I'm not really, I don't like asking people. It's like sponsorship, but yeah, everyone was amazing. And really, like, you know, once people know you want to do something, which is out of comfort zone or whatever, then yeah, everyone was donating. It was, it just worked really well, to be honest.
And was there a particular reason you chose that charity?
Close to home, really. Some family members have problems with mental health in the past. And I think a majority of us have had a problem with it. And obviously, like, in the modern day, it's becoming quite a, you know, talked about thing now. So, yeah, I thought it'd be quite a good charity to do it for. I got on board with what they wanted to do. And, that was basically something I really wanted to raise money for, yeah. So that was it, really. It was quite easy then.
Fantastic thing to do. And then that's done. And I guess your attention then really turns to the MGP and the reality of that. Two classes. What's the process in terms of getting ready for it now?
I've miscounted my signatures. So I had to get six signatures for the mountain course license, but I thought I had six. And for some reason I miscounted it and I had five. So obviously I had to get the sixth one, and by sort of July is a sort of cutoff point. And so I entered a race just gone now down at Pembrey, which is another local track for me. And I raced down there and got my final signature. So that's done. That's the sort of last tick in regards to all the admin that's got to be done. And then it's just a case of we're racing in Aberdare Park in 4 weeks on the 400. And after that, I'm not doing anything. Just sort of getting the bike prepared, because I don't want to risk myself or any mechanicals or anything like that. We were meant to do the Southern 100. I did have an entry for it, but once I found out I got to the Manx, it was just a case of the costs were going to be too high to be going over twice in quite a small amount of time. So I rang them up, and to be fair, they're really understanding. So hopefully I'll get back there next year.
And have you done the Southern before?
No, never. I really fancied it, but I couldn't afford to do the two this year. But obviously the other man's the main goal, and to get the actual entry was just mind-blowing. So everything else has sort of taken a back step compared to that.
Yeah, totally understandably. And you're talking about the financial side of it there, and that's the stark reality of this, isn't it? That for people like you who have this dream about coming over and racing on the roads over here, the money that it costs to do is quite phenomenal. How do you go about financing that?
I've been incredibly lucky during my bikes. My dad's always, he's basically funded this. Has been the bank. My dad has been the sponsorship for all the years. He's been amazing. I wouldn't be doing it without him. But as obviously the year, I got a bit, a bit better, been doing a bit more. We've got a sponsor now. Guy from Northampton, Cirrus Trading, and they are sort of friends with my dad and Paul, who's another part of the team, who've struck relationships since they raced together like 30 years ago. He's kindly put some quite a bit of money towards our racing, and I managed to buy we bought a few super twins off Milky Quail from the Isle of Man, so we bought them. Yeah, and he's sort of, just the financial help from him has been amazing. We got some accommodation and stuff like that, the ferries and all that. So, we're really, really in a fortunate position. A locals bike company in Swansea, M&P Motorcycles, they have helped me out with just getting some kit over the years. So basically just wanted to give them a little shout out and say thank you, because, they've done me some good deals on the stuff I've needed to race. So yeah, thanks. I'm hoping to do well and just sort of repay the favour, you know.
And that's really interesting, sort of going back to even when you were talking about fundraising for doing the London Marathon. I think for many people in your position, it's not easy going around looking for money, particularly, I suppose, because this is a sport that you love and enjoy, and I suppose you don't want to have to ask people for money for that, I guess.
No, I mean, like you said, like, it's quite a weird thing. In my sort of friendship group, I mean, there's only, I've got a load of friends, but no one really interested in bikes. So it's sort of like another world compared to my normal life. And not quite, I don't think a lot of them, everyone knows what the Isle of Man is, because you hear about it, but they don't understand. Everyone thinks it's just a dangerous thing and they're just, you're crazy for doing it. So yeah, going back to the sponsorship thing, it's hard to sort of ask people for money. I mean, you know, you get the thing, we can put names on your bike and stuff like that, but I mean, the commercial game for them is probably not great, and they wouldn't understand the passion I have for it, so they're not gonna, I guess, part with their money very easily. But yeah, I mean, it's just a tough thing for everyone in it, sponsorship, because it's like such a good hobby that we enjoy. But, you know, asking people for money to do our hobby is quite hard, I guess.
Do you ever do the sums and work out how much you've spent on this hobby?
No. No, I wouldn't want to. And like I said, you know, I think my dad probably knows, but we don't talk about that.
So what do you do for a living generally then?
I'm a carpenter. Self-employed. I might run my own business, so, which helps. I've only recently gone self-employed in the last couple of months. So it does help, because with the balance of time, I'm able to, you know, do a bit of training, or if I need to give it a bit of time to do some stuff on the bikes, or if we're going to go to a meeting, you know, you've got to have that sort of balance of time, so you can sort of just skip off when you want, as opposed to being employed, I guess, when you sort of contracted to certain hours. So yeah, it's been good.
But then the reality is as well, I suppose you're trying to live a normal life. If you've got family as well, I don't know, trying to fit everything in, it doesn't give you a lot of time spared.
I've got a little son, yeah, as well. He was 19 months old. So he takes up majority of the time. He's amazing. And he's just getting to the age now where he's just absolute carnage, really. So, it's just a juggling act between work, bikes, running, family time. Yeah, it's... it's great. I wouldn't change it, but yeah.
I'm just wondering, Andy, do you ever sleep?
No. Oh, yeah, no, not very much. Like, not very much, yeah. My son tends to be up with bloody hours 5 most mornings, so, you know. But yeah, no, I wouldn't change it.
And it's interesting, isn't it? So he's growing up in this environment, and I know he's only, as you say, 19 months at the moment, but you can't help but wonder whether that little seed will be planted there, if he's already having a little sit on daddy's motorbike.
Yeah, well, he's funny. He's obviously grown up around it, and like, I'm always watching, like most riders will always be watching bikes. Like, I ask my partner Josie, I'm always, MotoGP's on, BSB, like, I watch all the classes. Like, if it's on the weekend, like, I'll watch it from the junior superstock to all the way up to the BSB, just constantly, and if I got time to do it. And so a lot of the time, Rudy, my son, he is, he's got no choice but to watch the TV when his bike's on, and he sort of picked it up. He knows that daddy races bikes. He says it to my partner when I'm away sometimes. But he's not quite keen on sitting on them just yet. I think he's a bit young. He doesn't like the noise. So maybe a couple of years' time, he'd be sitting on them.
Yeah, that'll change for sure, won't it? You talked a little bit about the newcomers. You came over for the newcomers weekend. And I know that you say that you're in contact with some other newcomers as well. And I just wonder for you how important those sort of connections are, the fact that you're in contact with people who are going through the same thing as you.
It's been a massive help. I mean, I met a few of the boys on the newcomers weekend, we got a WhatsApp group going, it's been good, because you know, everyone's sort of sharing information. If anything pops up, like we get an email or you know, if anyone needs to find out something or you've got a question, we just pop it in the group, no matter how silly it is. You know, it could be anything from licensing stuff to all the kit you got to have now, because all the regs change so much. So it's just been a massive help, and everyone's going through the same sort of thing to get there. And we're all doing it different ways, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we're all different personalities, and some similar machinery, but different ways of building things. And some of the boys have got loads of engines, loads of, you know, they're building all sorts of custom parts. And then, it's just amazing to see how the boys are doing it, and I can't wait to get out there.
And when you get over here, you talked about having accommodation. Or are you going to stay in the paddock, or have you got somewhere else to stay? How are you planning that?
We're luckily staying in a, we've got a house in Onken, so we're not too far from the paddock. But yeah, we just opted for that option because I don't have a caravan or anything like that. So we always just sort of rock up to the paddock when I'm racing over here. Usually we'll stay in a hotel that night before, and then we'll go over in the morning. But yeah, so we've got a house in Onken, and yeah, so we've got the garage in there as well. So yeah, we've got a bit of room to work on the bikes. I think we'll just sort of ferry them back and forth and see how it goes. Obviously, I'll probably look to get in the paddock maybe next year if we're coming back next year. But yeah, that's our sort of our plan.
Who have you got coming with you?
So my dad's coming with me. My Paul, who was my dad's best mate and who was the part of the team. And then Paul's son, James, is also coming with me. And I've also got my dad's friend, Kev, Kevin Lloyd, who's coming over to support, who raced in the Manx back in 82, I think it was. He's coming over with his wife, Eileen. Yeah, so they've been big supporters of me over the years. And yeah, so it'd be good to have him out there as well. And my partner, Josie's coming over on the Friday. She's flying over for the weekend. And my cousin and his partner are coming over as well to support on the Friday as well. Yeah, so yeah, it's a few of us coming over, but they're not too many.
And in terms of things like practicing pit stops and everything, because that's going to be quite a crucial part of the actual race, how do you do that?
I think it's just a case of just turn up and do it. And we're not going to be practicing. We sort of know what we do. I've been watching the TT and the Manx for years. I mean, Paul, like I said, has raced in, I think, four or five Manx Grand Prix, and then he's done about six or seven TTs as well. So he is very experienced, you know, unbelievable person to have in the corner. So yeah, I mean, we got a couple of friends. Well, he's got a couple of friends in the paddock who were racing the TT and stuff. So yeah, it's we got a few people to ask advice from, I guess. So yeah, it'll just be a case of partly winging it and partly asking their experienced riders.
And what are you most looking forward to?
Most thing I'm looking forward to is getting out for a lap or after the newcomer's lap. And just, yeah, because I've done the parade lap in 2019 on a 400, so I've been around there in race conditions before, but I'm a lot more, I know a lot more of where I'm going now. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to that, basically, and just the whole experience. Can't wait.
We've mentioned the newcomers WhatsApp group and whatever, but then obviously you've got Richard Milky Quayle, who you've bought some machinery off and whatever. How important is the support from people like that?
Yeah, I mean, Paul went over to get the bikes and met Milky and had a good chat with him and stuff. So I think he's made some contact with him. So I'm hoping, I've never met Milky myself. I'm obviously know, you know, all about him. He's Mr. TT. I've watched a lot of his videos to, you know, the onboards and the talking through to sort of learn the track. So yeah, I'm hoping to get out there and meet him as well and get some pointers off him, because there's probably no one better to get some advice from, really.
And have you got a particular aim for this year? Is there something that you would really like to achieve if you can?
It's just a case of finishing, and riding it safely. That's all I want to achieve. I don't got no, I got no time goals or nothing like that. Obviously, I want to qualify for the racing because there's a certain speed you got to do. But just a case of hitting the lines and just getting into it through the week. I don't want to take, you know, I just want to be safe. That's the main thing, I think. I think if you're outside the sport, you can understand it. You don't. It looks absolutely mad, and it does, because when I first started watching it, I thought the same thing. But I think when you get to know it, and you learn, it's a lot of calculating. You know what I mean? We're learning the track. We put hours and years of learning. You know, I've been over there. I've done loads of laps in the car, in the bikes. I've played the game. I've just on boards, got notes. I've learned pretty much all the track. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a lot different on the bike. I know it's going to be under no illusion, but it's, you know, it's not like I'm going out there just to fly around and, you know, I hang on for the best. You know, it's a case of it being, you know, there's a lot of preparation going in for it, and I don't think people see that, especially if you're not into the sport. Obviously, the riders who ride there know how much prep goes into it, and it doesn't seem as extreme to you, I guess, riding it, because I just think there's a lot of prep goes into it, and that's it, really.
I'm guessing there's part of you that must be just like, just get here now, just you just want to actually be here and get on with it.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's going quite quick. I mean, we're coming to the end of June now. I mean, it's a couple of days. It's going to be saying I'm racing the Isle of Man next month. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I got the Aberdare Park road races in 4 weeks. So it's something to sort of gear towards, which breaks the 8 weeks up. And then obviously once that's done, it's only a couple of weeks and we'll be headed out. I can't wait to get on the ferry now.
In terms of your sort of sporting heroes, and you talked about Milky Quail being Mr. TT, but growing up, was there anyone that you particularly idolised and thought, that's who I want to be like?
McGuinness, like a lot of people, John McGuinness was amazing for me. When I was growing up, he was the man. And I met him a few times, met him at Aberdare, just had a chat with him. I was watching on one of the corners, and I didn't notice he was standing next to me on the gate. Just looked like one of the punters. He was just standing there for probably must have been 20 minutes before I noticed he was there. So I said, I had to take the opportunity to speak to him. And he's just down to earth. Just an everyday bloke, and he's just done amazing things around there. So I think his whole attitude and everything, just he'd be my inspiration really. So and just to do what he's still doing now, at 51, you think he'd do 131 1 hour laps in June was unbelievable.
But has he done the London Marathon? That's the question. Brilliant to talk to you, Andrew. We can't wait to see you over here. If people want to keep up to date with how your racing is going, are you posting a lot on social media? Where can people follow you?
I don't really do posting about the racing too much. I got my Instagram is it's just my name, Andrew Jones, with a Z on the end. I do post occasionally, but I haven't got a racing page or anything like that. I like to follow everyone else's, and I will be updating it through the Manx and towards the Manx. So yeah, that's it's Andrew Jones Z on Instagram. That's it. Yeah,
Andrew Jones. And once again, we'll keep a close eye on how Andrew does this year, and hopefully catch up with him. There is nothing nicer, I'm sure, than having a microphone shoved in your face when you're about to set off down Bray Hill. But if you've been listening to Andrew's story and you'd like to tell your own, please do get in touch. BethEsby@manxradio.com, or you can find the link on the podcast page. Until next time, bye bye. This Journey to a Dream podcast has been brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. Visit their website, kawasaki-insurance.co.uk, to find out how you can get covered.